Ruth chapter 4, if you'd like to turn there. This is our last time to do this, and it's been a little bit of a unique series. I realize that. Had a little different kinds of response to it, but we're taking it, trying to, from more narrative approach. And one thing I realize is that you've read the story like I have 100 times. And how many of you love the book of Ruth, though? You just love the book. To me, it's a comforting book. When I read Ruth, and we get to tonight, and by the way, let me mention right now, and Bob, I see you and Roberta here and others that are typically in our prayer team. If you would be willing at the close, I would like just that we'll scatter all the way across the front, and a prayer team, we could be about where we normally stand so we can minister prayer, and then those that need to kneel can kneel either the front seats or, of course, up on the stairs here. And by the way, yes, this is all new carpeting. Doesn't it look nice? Isn't that great? Some of you say, wow, I didn't notice. How many of you did not notice that this morning, honestly? Let's pray healing for the eyes. Okay, let's do it. No, I'm not surprised, a lot of people, but it is, and we're thrilled. The Lord provided just enough funds, really, that we were able to re-carpet. And quite honestly, when we hosted district council, my heart was just, I was embarrassed. I mean, we had threads and tears all over. But a lot of times, you probably never even notice, but all across up here. And so we're just thrilled to have some new carpet. It feels really good, and it's great to kneel on, all right? It's more padded, etc. So anyway, let's just close in prayer. It's been a great night together, hasn't it? But at the end, prayer team, be ready, and I'd like to have you because of where we will end this tonight. It was Solomon who wrote, "The end of the matter of a matter is better than its beginning." How many of you wish that was always true? When I look at that, I kind of say, well, that's true, but that's not always true. I've seen a lot of endings that weren't that pretty. But one of the joys of God's story is whether it's his mega story of Genesis to Revelation or whether it's one of these little stories like Ruth and Naomi's and Boaz's, certainly it's true, and we can be confident if the will and the purpose of God is involved, and it is in our lives, then all things work together for good to those that love God and are called according to his purpose. How many of you believe that tonight? Amen. If not, we don't have a lot to bank on tonight. But if God's will and God's purpose is involved in something, and I think sometimes our problem is we're caught in the in-between. We're caught in the seeing through a glass dimly season of life. And so we end up maybe a little bit in despair and not knowing what is God doing. But if God is working all things together, then it is for our good to those that love him. If you love him, say amen. Then he's working everything out for your good tonight. And this precious book of Ruth helps us underscore that in our lives. Lord, as we turn to your word again this final time for this wonderful story, God, it's not just a story. It's not a fairy tale, Lord. We know it is your word. And I pray tonight it would speak to us as we bring it all home and celebrate this great ending of chapter 4. In Jesus' name, everyone said amen. As she looked into those little eyes that could barely focus, she saw the face of God. Not in a literal sense, but when your journey takes you the route as it had Naomi's, it brings you to such conclusions. Everyone knew God was in this moment. For those who a year before had spoken the word over Boaz and Ruth as he was about to take her to be his wife, to the women in Bethlehem who now surrounded Naomi that day, it all instantly to them, they saw God in it all. It had come a little slower for Naomi, though. And life is often that way, isn't it? Those around us try to help and encourage us when we're going through difficult times, and they will speak sometimes, kind of pronounce good things over us. They're doing their best to encourage us. Sometimes they just don't know what to say, but they mean well. And we, meanwhile, just need some time to process, as was the case with Naomi. Those 50 miles back and forth to Moab represented a lifetime's worth of pain and loss for any individual. To lose your husband and both your sons in that day and return to your hometown with only your daughter-in-law, as precious a girl as she was, it meant that there were two widows in Israel in that day that had very hard days ahead. And yet it didn't take long for God to redeem Naomi out of her circumstances, and she could finally begin to see it now. As he laid upon her lap and she looked into his face, she repeated that name that those women had spoken over his life. Obed. Obed. His name means servant. The blessing spoken over him at the gate a year earlier was typical of a wedding in ancient Bethlehem. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your house like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the house of Israel. May you, Boaz, act worthily in Ephrathah and be renowned in Bethlehem. And may your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah, because of the offspring that the Lord will give you by this young woman. The offspring. Could it be that God heard the words of those elders and that crowd in Bethlehem? Could it be that Obed resting upon her lap was the result of that blessing? Now the women crowding around her, each wanting to get a glimpse of this new resident in Bethlehem, said, "Blessed be the Lord who has not left you, Naomi, this day without a redeemer, and may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is more to you than seven sons, has given birth to him." Naomi's heart swelled with every word that was spoken. And already Obed was living up to his name. He was already serving Ruth by fulfilling in her a longing that she had since she was just a little girl in Moab. How one day she would be united to a man and they would begin a family together. And in her mind, she thought it would be with a young man named Mahlon. How far away those days now seemed to be. She was in Bethlehem. She was now married to Boaz, a respected man of the town, and she considered herself a follower of Jehovah. And already he had shown himself to be a gracious and a living God to her, so much more than any of the idols that she had served back in Moab. And now she was a mother. The wonder of Jehovah's grace was beyond measure to her. Those in Bethlehem had taken her right underneath their wings like she was one of them. It was as if Jehovah himself was grafting her into the story of his people. Oddly enough, it's almost as if her story was more of Naomi's than hers, and from the very beginning. And that was fine, because all that Ruth longed to be was a wonderful, faithful daughter-in-law to her mother-in-law. As Naomi had taken her into her family years before, now she could bring Naomi into her and Boaz's family, if you will, and even allow her to have the role as nurse to little Obed. Obed was already serving Boaz by being the son that he could be so proud of. Whispers around town about how old the man was didn't matter to him. God had granted everything that those elders had spoken at that gate a year before. And it was almost as if God had repaid him for his goodness to Ruth the way he had believed God would repay Ruth for her kindness to Naomi. Ruth, what a lovely young lady to request him to serve as her and Naomi's kinsman redeemer. As he glanced across at her and then gazed again upon Obed's face, he just smiled because he too saw the hand of God. And Obed was serving Naomi. It's almost as if this moment was as much hers as it was Ruth's. As she held little Obed, she reflected on how lonely that road had been back in Bethlehem. She had left with so much and returned with so little. How broken her spirit had been. How hopeless she had felt when she arrived at Bethlehem again. And she thought of those words, strong as they had been spoken with conviction by Ruth, and yet how little comfort they had brought to her as she stood on the road there in Moab. For Ruth had said, "Where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. And your people shall be my people, and your God my God, and where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord do so to me, and more so also, if anything but death parts me from you." Oh, how she had underestimated those words of Ruth. And now, how right her friends were. Ruth was more to her than seven sons. Boaz had saved the family inheritance. Now Ruth's son Obed would perpetuate Elimelech's lineage in Israel and protect that inheritance and sustain Naomi in her old age, and atop of it all, restore to her the joy of life that had been stolen out of her heart. How prophetic those women were to name him Obed, servant. He would serve her as the restorer of her life. She had left three graves behind in Moab. Those women understood the gravity of it all when they said, "Blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a redeemer, and may his name be renowned in Israel." They didn't see Boaz as her redeemer. They saw Obed to serve that critical role. And he would be the nourisher of her in her old age, and he would not only restore her life's joy, but he would restore both her now and for the rest of her life. Yet that little baby would also serve many more outside of just his immediate family. It's what neither Naomi or Ruth or Boaz could have imagined, I'm sure, in the furthest imagination on that day. Because they named him Obed, and he was the father of Jesse, and he was the father of David. King David, slingshot toting David, giant killing psalm writing David. And a century later, Jesse would have a little sit down with David after they had a visit by the prophet. And he had poured the oil fresh upon David, and Jesse would pull him aside. The oil was still fresh on his head, and he would say to David, that David, none of us should be here. None of your seven other brothers or me, we should be here. If it wasn't for divine intervention of God, if it wasn't for a woman named Ruth, and if it wasn't for the servant, her son Obed. And Jesse would tell David of the tremendous loss that his great-grandmother suffered in Moab, and how Naomi had returned to her hometown empty-handed, a widow with little hope in this world, and how everyone in Bethlehem would begin to whisper that she doesn't even look like the same woman that left here 10 years ago, but how God had used a willing Moabitess named Ruth to open the door for her to be a kinsman, him to be a kinsman redeemer to Naomi's husband's lineage. And how that lineage included Jesse and now David, who had been anointed the king of Israel. As she looked into those little eyes that could barely focus, Naomi saw the face of God. But so did another widow 1,000 years later. And this little widow was full of faith, full of expectation, continuously living in the temple, and she waited for and hoped for and expected to see those little eyes one day. And when she did, having made her way over to Mary and Joseph, in the temple she gazed upon the face of Jesus. And when she did, she was looking at Jesus, Messiah, the chosen one, the son of David, Romans chapter 1, verse 3. Of the root of Jesse, Isaiah chapter 11, verse 10, the one who would save his people from their sins. 18th century hymn writer William Cowper, he had a life that went much the way that Naomi's life had up to the point of Ruth chapter 1. His life felt bitter. He battled depression. He tried to take his life on more than one occasion. He struggled to persevere in his faith. One biographer of his wrote that he had one long accumulation of pain in his life. And yet Cowper did grasp one of the great strengths and mysteries about God when he penned these words that have become a powerful hymn of the church. God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Deep in unfathomable minds of never-failing skill, he treasures up his bright designs and works his sovereign will. Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds ye so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. Behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. His purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Blind unbelief is sure to err and scan his work in vain. God is his own interpreter, and he will make it plain. Amen. Amen. Would you bow your heads with me tonight? We arrive at Ruth chapter 1, verse 1. And within just a moment, we have a woman who's broken and bitter. And you might be here tonight, and you feel much like a Naomi, where you say, God, where are you? And really, as mentioned tonight, it's almost like the book of Ruth is really the book of Naomi. It's her story as much as it's Ruth's. And tonight, I just want to encourage, if there's anyone here, you are in a difficult season of your life. And I just want you to know, as I went through this week and honed this the best that I could for you tonight, in my own heart, I was saying, God, I want to see the end from the beginning. And I believe that the end's going to be better than the beginning. And I want to encourage you tonight, if you are living in a fog right now, I want to encourage you to believe God that he is going to bring and work all things together for good for you as you love him and are called according to his purpose. And I join with you tonight, and there probably are many of us here tonight, and we're wondering, God, what is the full picture? What's the end that you're going to write? May we believe tonight, even if you're in deep, deep situation, much like Naomi was. I don't feel that way tonight, but maybe you do. Can I encourage you tonight to take hold of the truths of these four little chapters, that God is working on your behalf. And as William Cowper could write it, he rides upon that storm. And there are times that we may err when we look through our little feeble earthly eyes. We cannot see what God is doing, but God is working. He is working. And in the end, may you have your little Obed on your lap. May you see God bring it all to fruition. May you have the provision that you need tonight. Whatever it is that's in your life, the prayer team's going to pray and agree with you. And I would encourage you in a moment just to come forward to them and let someone join hands with you and pray with you and agree with you tonight. Even if you're in a fog, oh, I pray that fog will lift and one day you'll see the handiwork of God in your life. Because I believe he's working. He's working. He's working right tonight. Even if you can't see it or feel it. Naomi was in a total fog. But in the end, she could see Obed, servant. And the Lord provided the father, grandfather of King David and the lineage of Jesus Christ to this earth through Naomi, through Ruth, through that family, through Elimelech. What an amazing story tonight. And friend, God is writing your story. And right now I'd like to ask the prayer team to go ahead and come and stand and kind of spread themselves out across the front. And if you would like prayer tonight, I just want to encourage you to come and let someone pray with you. If that's not the case tonight, I do want to ask all of us to find a place of prayer. And it might be to pray for someone else that you know, maybe one of your own relatives, someone in your own family that tonight you know they really need the touch of God, and you don't see what God is doing, but you pray for them tonight, that God will work in their lives and fulfill his plan for them. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we marvel, and Ruth just underscores for us the wonderful works that you do, Lord. Even at times, Lord, when we can't see you, God, I thank you that you're at work. And Lord, we love those moments like we saw just a few times in the book of Ruth, that it just so happened that she came upon the field, and it just so happened that Boaz took notice of Ruth. Lord, thank you that you oftentimes are working in ways that we can't even see, and it just so happens that you send the person our way, that you lead us down the right path, God. Lord, thank you for Ruth. Thank you for Naomi. Thank you for Boaz. Thank you for Obed. Thank you for Jesse, and thank you for David. Above all, thank you for you, Jesus. We love you. And we worship you and we bow at your feet tonight as we come and find our place of prayer in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Why don't we come and find a place of prayer? If you need prayer tonight, the prayer team is available to you. Anything that you'd like prayer for. If not, why don't we just kneel in his presence and seek the Lord tonight? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you for faith, Lord. May it arise in our hearts tonight, Lord. May faith arise in our hearts, Lord, as we meet with you, O God.
Thank you, Lord. Let us believe you, God, working in your mysterious ways, your wonders to perform. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Do your work, oh God, do your work. Do your work in us, Lord. Do your work in Central Assembly. Do your work in each of our individual lives, Lord. Do your work, God, in our lives and in our hearts. Fulfill your plan and your purpose. For all things work together for good to those that love you and are called according to your purpose. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.